gameplay of Ridge Runner Cartoons. What's going on?
Wow, Eric, could not have said it better myself, or could I have?
And I think I will.
I think I might. We're recording late. It's Monday, May 18th, so we got all that hot news that happened on Sunday, am I right?
Was there hot news that happened on Sunday?
No, literally nothing happened.
I was like, geez, I'm not doing this right again.
Literally nothing happened.
A couple of things happened, though, the past week.
Some stuff did happen. There's stuff to talk about, and I had to think about it. Some of it's very exciting. We did happen. I'm Rich Meister, you're Eric Ortiz.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Here.
Happy Monday in the Sunday.
I like that.
Thanks.
I forgot that we played, Rich and I had played Streets of Rage 4. And
the entire
thing. This was something that we have done at least 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we just completely neglected
Didn't
to talk
about
it. Not because we thought it was bad, actually. It's just, I don't know. It completely skipped our brains.
And it's a weird thing.
But I liked it.
I liked it, and what I'll say is, like, I love the art, I love the music, I thought the fucking game looked beautiful. I'm still partially infuriated that, and I get they were keeping in touch with old Streets of Rage, but I was like, oh man, you should be able to run.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, this is Streets of Rage 4. It's by, well, at least .emu is the one who published it, but it was...
They publish a lot of...
I mean, it was developed by them,
ports,
too, with Lizard
actually.
Cube and a couple of others, but...
Yeah.
It is actually a direct continuation into the classic Streets of Rage series from Sega, keying off right off of 3. So if you're like me, and the last time you played a Streets of Rage was, I don't know, maybe like over 10 years ago, chances are there's going to be a lot of things that just fly over your head just because, but it doesn't matter because it's a beat-em-up, and it's a fun one. I actually really dug it. I don't know about you, but I dug it.
Oh, in practice, it's fun. I think we played with a full-on... We played with 4 people.
Yeah, using Steam's remote play, which I have to say, that was really cool.
There were some hiccups.
There were, for sure.
But it
worked just
overall,
way it was
better
cool.
than I could have thought.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. I actually... I'll talk about it later, but I just played Splunky yesterday for maybe like 20 minutes, just using the Steam remote play, and there was no issues. So that's pretty cool. It was probably because we had 4 of us all chimed in at once.
Oh, yeah, we were really tearing apart his internet.
Really Spectrum called him and said, please, I don't know what's going on over there, but just
But
stop.
You gotta cut it the fuck out.
There are a lot of people out here.
And he's like, yeah, you know, we got a city to save, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? I have to say, though, you know, for a game that was based off a game from long ago, I really dug it. I thought that the art style of it this time, it wasn't obviously in that classic... bitty fashion. Instead,
it's more
it was
of a comic booky look,
more of an animated style.
Yeah,
which I dug. I think it worked for this. But yeah, there were some things that I wish, you know, being a 2020 kind of title being released, they could have incorporated at least some things like the ability to run.
Well, to be fair, you can actually run in this game. Cherry is the only playable character.
Really?
Yeah, she's the only playable character because she's the only one that works properly and can run.
Mm-hmm.
One of the characters can run. The choice to have everybody else not run is an infuriating and weird thing. And literally, I'd be like, I fucking absolutely love this game to death if they had included that. It's the one thing that kind of made me, like, grumble somewhat.
Yeah, and, I mean, they actually released, it was pretty cool. And I didn't realize this until shortly after, because we were playing the game and we were all just thinking, oh, you know, there's only a couple of characters here. They had released that you can unlock the classic... 12
yeah.
Retro Fighters in their bitty glory,
yes,
which
yes,
I thought
sir.
Was a
if you don't
really
play
cool,
as
really cool
fat
little
dad Axel
thing that they did. So I'm totally a fan of that.
Yeah, very cool game. We sat down and beat it in like what two and a half 3 hours.
And honestly, I didn't expect anything different.
No, of course, yeah. That's kind of what
as I was getting
these games
tucked
are.
In at night, I was thinking, man, was that short for a beat 'em up game? But then I was thinking of, you know, Turtles in Time, which is one of my favorites. You could do that in 2 hours.
Totally.
For sure.
The other weird knock I have against it is that, like, the bosses seem weirdly imbalanced.
Yeah. Some of them we beat with ease.
And but like there was no proper order to it. Like it didn't feel like there was a real ramp up in a sense. It was like one boss would, you know, give us a little bit of a hard time. We still would come out on top, but we'd have to try a little bit more. And then like the boss after that, we'd just immediately pin in a corner and juggle against the wall and be done with it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there were times where I remember there were some levels that we were getting our asses handed to us, and it took maybe about two tries. And then the next level, when we got to the next stage, which again is, to your point, you know, the next stage, things got a little harder, and we actually died early, where there would be only two of us left, and we were thinking, oh, we're so done. There's no way. You know, if the last boss was any indicator of this, there's no way we could do it. And then you and Eddie, or even Clayton or somebody else, would just literally juggle them forever, and they would just die immediately, and they'd say stage clear, and everyone was just thinking, all right.
We did it. We did it, team. Like,
that was the stage. No,
I think
so
the last level is the only one that really took us multiple tries.
Oh, for sure. And we had to be laser precise with what we were doing.
That last boss was a lot, but we got it on, I want to say, the third or fourth try?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's not even... I mean, we were just average players. I imagine somebody who's really good at the game could just clear it. But, yeah, we had to reevaluate what we were doing maybe, like, three times. To just
save
get
our special skills,
get
our
specials,
get
the food when we needed it. You know, time it. It's good.
So there's some stuff I looked into after we beat it, just because I was curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's weird stuff you could change in the settings.
Like what?
Like you could the food drops, for example, they are just what they were classically in the original games. Like a small portion of your health is an apple, full health is a turkey. Mm-hmm. You could go into the settings and make it so there's more of a variety of food that drops.
That's pretty funny. You just have, like, a there's nice like, little meal.
Well, there's, like, the slider for the healthy option, and then you drop salads.
And then what's the unhealthy option?
I don't really remember. I looked at it briefly, but I knew that was one of the sliders is, like, healthy food option, and it turns the turkeys into salads.
That's hilarious. I had a feeling. See, it's just because it was Eddie's game that we didn't really have the chance to kind of explore it fully, besides just playing the base game. But that's what I have a feeling for, too, at least for a game like that. You have, say, on the cover, about 2 hours of content, but they have little things here and there that they sprinkle throughout that you're going to say, oh, well, you know, I want to play this, and I want to see that, even if it's something like a salad. I don't know, something
it's
stupid.
It's a game that's meant to be played multiple times.
Sure.
It's an arcade game
it's like
at its heart.
It's like a Resident Evil title. You can't just play it once and walk away. You got to play at least, like, you know, twice.
At least twice.
At least twice, because everybody just has that time.
Turtles in Time. Now, I got to tell you, weirdly, because I think this is a good time to bring it up, I recently got into a conversation that was spurned on by talking about Streets of Rage, mm-hmm. bringing me to talking about Turtles in Time, mm-hmm. bringing me to thinking about that Platinum Turtles game that the Turtles game that Platinum put out that then disappeared from the world.
And you're gonna mention that? Yeah, it did.
Good. Like, it's not even that good of a game.
No,
but it was just this weird thing where like the license lapsed in such a way that it just vanished.
Well, actually, hold on, what was the name of it?
Mutants in Manhattan, I believe.
Mutants in Manhattan, that's what it was. Yeah, honestly, it looked pretty good.
It had a good look. The
it
thing on its face that was
good, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't buy it.
The thing that was immediately weird to me, and this is what I got to, I was talking with the Sword Chomp guys about this, actually, is you think, oh, awesome, a Turtles game that Platinum put out, a fun, like, they're good at beat-em-ups like that. And then I look at that game and I'm like, why the fuck is this game single player?
Yeah.
How is this not a four-player co-op title?
I do not understand the decisions that some developers make when they kind of make those judgment calls. And I'm not saying there probably was a reason. I want to say benefit of the doubt. I can't imagine that a developer made a Turtles game without at least having a form of co-op in mind.
That's the thing, and I'm sure something happened along the way that we can't attest to, but always to me, like, that's almost the deal breaker for me. I'm like, we're gonna make a TMNT beat-em-up. It's gotta be four-player co-op.
It literally just has to be done, because that's the... I mean, it's the Ninja Turtles. I mean, sure, you can make the argument that the early games for, like, the Nintendo, it didn't have multiplayer. Actually, can't say that for sure. I think some of them did, but... I mean, they were multiplayer in these games for so long... that the idea of having a four-player turtle squad without it being co-op and saying, hey, now you can do it single-player all by yourself.
And jump between the turtles you like.
Not even couch co-op. Yeah, jump between the turtles you like. Oh, your friend kept taking Leo? Well, guess what? You can be Leonardo now. You can be everybody you ever want to be.
having a hard time deciding between Leo and Don. Guess what? You're both of them.
Yeah, it's a bit wacky. It's a shame, too, because you know what? That's so... I used to look up gameplay videos of that, and I was thinking, wow, that's actually... I love the style of the game itself.
It's got a good look. It was a loot game. Like there were little gear drops, mm-hmm. which I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, seeing Don with, like, a different sort of bow staff, and, like... It was a cool idea. Poor execution, from what I understand.
We are just overdue for another Turtles game. I kind of want it. And if I did, I was to get another Turtles game, I'd want another one. That's just a beat-em-up like Streets of Rage, but it could be based off of the IDW comic series, because that one's pretty much the de facto current day Turtles timeline that we're going on right now.
I think they should do a nod to the original Turtles comics, and you kill Shredder in the first level.
I would adore it. And then the main villains actually turn out to be Bebop and Rocksteady the whole time. They were the main orchestrators of the entire thing.
I mean, and to tell you the truth, I'd be totally cool with them taking another stab at, like, what Platinum tried to do, like a full-on 3D four-player, like, with a Platinum style of, like, you know, 3D combat. Like, what I was picturing when I first heard about that game was, I was like, okay, four players turtle game that plays like Devil May Cry.
Totally fine with it.
Like, it, yeah, it reminded give me that, me
immediately,
please.
Too, of kind of the Ultimate Spider-Man style with that cell shading that it had. I would just,
that was very much the look
at
it.
Make it more
yeah.
of a comic-y style in the way that Ultimate Spider-Man did. Adopt a Devil May Cry kind of gameplay with it. You're fine. Like, I genuinely, and put co-op. And you would have a pretty solid game so long as everything else just fell into place. I was actually thinking of the Turtles in Time Reshelled, which was mm-hmm. made by Ubisoft at the time. And it was the reimplementation of Turtles in Time. I hated that shit.
You were not a fan?
I was not a fan.
I'm trying to...
It was not that good. And I didn't I didn't like the new art style that they had used for it. It was more of a 3D kind of deal.
This is really important to me for no reason, because the name has escaped me. God, this is going to bother me forever. Oh, there we go. Why couldn't I remember his name? I was thinking of stupid TMNT villains.
Was it Baxter Stockman? And I was,
No, like, way more throwaway than Baxter Stockman. I was thinking of the first live-action movie, and I couldn't remember Toka's name.
Oh, Toka. Stupid.
It's so dumb.
Toka in the game. Start the 2020 campaign. Hashtag put Toka in. Or just give me another TMNT game. I would adore it, though. I don't even know where the Turtles license sits for games right now.
It sounded like Platinum had some kind of deal last we heard, and then the license lapsed shortly after it released.
It just said no. I would love it.
Licensing is crazy like that. Like, when stuff like that happens, usually there's some sort of clerical mistake where, like, it seems like production might have happened, and then they found out they technically didn't have the license after the fact.
Oh, for sure. The last one it looks like they had was the TMNT Legends, which is an RPG for the phones.
But that is also, I think, is that based off the Nickelodeon cartoon?
Because
I think it's tricky with that sort of stuff.
Yes, it is. Okay, yes, it is. And it's not the Nickelodeon cartoon that is a hand-drawn cartoon, or that web animated one. It's a 3D one. Because they made
people seem to like that new.
They have so much turtle stuff nowadays, but just not turtle video games. It looks like this one's just a gacha game.
Gotcha.
Because once you're in, they gotcha.
That's how it gets its name.
But whatever. Turtles wasn't Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage was its own thing. I had fun with it. I didn't like the soundtrack. It didn't click with me.
You didn't?
Maybe it's too heavy. Maybe I should just listen to it again on like YouTube or something. But
I don't think it clicked with me.
The originals did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it stuck with me the way the originals did.
No.
But I enjoyed it.
No, yeah, it just didn't have that same hook that I got from the classic games.
Gusto?
Yeah. And I don't think you can, unless I'm incorrect about this, I'd have to look it up. I don't think you can enable a retro soundtrack, which would be pretty cool.
I did not hear anything about that.
Yeah, I doubt it. I thought it was just the characters. It's just like a little Easter egg. There's always something that somebody's dissatisfied with, but I felt like the overall sound could have been cool. I'm a big fan of those 8-bitty soundtracks. But yeah, Streets of Rage, fun game. I'm pretty sure it's cheap. What is it, $20? $25?
Yeah, $30.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I think it's worth it if you're a fan. Especially, it literally continues the story, so, you know.
You get to know what's going down with the Y-Twins.
Yeah. I had a fun time.
You've been plugging away at some other stuff. Been sort of a light week for me, but why don't you tell me?
Literally just been FF7.
Where you at with that?
I just got to Walmart. I'm chugging.
So let me tell you something. I've been thinking about this FF7 thing.
All right.
Thinking, well, the structure of this remake going forward.
Okay.
And I've done the work for them.
You figured it out.
Yeah, I decided where part two should end.
Wow.
I've sent an email. So to me, in my head, part two should do some clever things. Again, skip ahead like 2 minutes if you don't know some stuff about the OG FF7, because I'm gonna get a lightly spoilery here. Part two should end in the Temple of the Ancients, and we should leave some fun stuff up in the air. I don't think Kate Sith number two should just lop out and be like, "Hey, remember that dramatic thing we had a few minutes ago? I forgot to tell you that I'd literally be fine." then I think since there's almost no way Wutai is optional in this version, I think Yuffie should seize the opportunity at the Temple of the Ancients to fucking rob us blind.
You want to get robbed? Yuffie should come out until the third game?
No, no. Well, she'd be in all of part two.
Yeah.
And then she'd rob you blind at the end of part three. At the end of part two, rather. So then here's how I want part three to open. Part three, the party needs to split up at the very beginning. Half of them pursue Aerith through the Sleeping Forest to the Village of the Ancients, and half of them chase Yuffie to Wutai to get our precious materia back.
And that's the start?
Yeah, because I feel like they're gonna force your party a lot more.
I like the Kate Sith bit, because you wouldn't know that it was all just a ruse until, like, the beginning of part three.
Also,
be pretty high.
I think the Wutai thing could be really funny, because one, you know, you're bringing Don Corneo back to remind you that he's still creepy.
Yeah.
And also, I want the party you send to Wutai to be, like, the most nonsensical group. Like, I want Barrett to have to lead a team of, like Vincent and Sid and Kate Sith to Wutai.
Literally, like, a merry band of misfits.
Like, he's like, let's go, B-team.
Barrett is just endlessly frustrated.
Also, a thing I got to thinking about what there's no way they can cut is... I still think the most dramatic speech of the entire game and the last time the entire party is really together for a big narrative moment should still take place inside Disney's Haunted Mansion.
No. I'm going to have to draw the line there. And I really do like Disney's Haunted Mansion.
It's such a weird moment when you think about it. They're like, we really need to go over what our next move is. Let's do it inside this haunted hotel in Disneyland.
Let's go here. I really like to think in there.
And then by the time they're done talking, like, Red had just only realized that Vincent was with the party. He assumed the vampire man was part of the decorations.
He probably just came out. He's like, woo! He's like, I'm part of your group. Oh, shit.
Are you? Which one are you?
It's like, I think you should stay here. I feel like this is your home, like the end of your journey.
I was watching a scene of, like, a video of that scene, and I forgot, weirdly, if Vincent's with you, because in the original game he's an optional character, when things are getting awkward, he's like, Sid, let's go. And I kind of just want Sid to be like, what do you mean, let's go? We're not that close.
It's like, I don't feel comfortable with this.
Are we sharing a room? I didn't agree to that.
Yeah, it's like, the room quarters got a little small, so Sid, you're gonna be bunking with Vincent. And he just goes,
Vincent just crawls into it. What is clearly a decorative coffin.
Yeah, and he just goes, I make a lot of noise when I sleep. And he just goes,
and he goes, what? He goes, don't worry about it, I'm fine.
I'm a vampire, remember? I'd be okay with that. You know what? As a starting point for three, I'd be okay with it only because I can't see that making too much sense to sit right with the player at the end of two. That's just like a lot to have to do at the end, and then it just ends, and then you'd go to three if you went to Wutai already. It'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, I also think the Temple of the Ancients is kind of a good stopping point. Like, more so, like, the way the first one is like, okay, now we have our direction. Like, that end for part two would be more of like, okay, now I understand where we're at and what our actual goal is, because I still kind of didn't at this point.
I like that.
Like, now you know what the Black Materia is, you know what, quote-unquote, Sephiroth is trying.
It's trying to do.
Or he's not even sure. Rufus is off busy being a crazy person.
Classic. Well, hey, you send that email, you add him, I'm a fan. and everybody who skipped 2 minutes, if you're just joining us and got completely spoiled 2 minutes in, welcome back.
Thanks for hanging out.
You ask me what the heck is a Temple of the Ancients. I'm sorry. Anyways, I also played Splunky. That game is so much fun. That's an OG one. I like it.
Splunky's a good game.
I was thinking the other day, I was like, wow, let me play a nice old school game like Splunky. Because Splunky came out in 2008.
Yeah.
That's literally 12 years ago. I felt terrible.
You ready for Spelunky 2?
Yeah. Honestly, it's because, you know, Derek's making a new one. He's like, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You kill the shopkeepers?
Do I do that willingly?
When you're playing Spelunky.
No.
If you got the firepower, are you taking those mothers down?
I feel like I do my due diligence to get the gold to not have to do that. The only time I would is if I'm kind of forced to. You know, money's running tight. And I think that's an allegory for society.
You know,
if the economy crashes, things are going to go haywire.
You know what's funny is I only do it if I have the money to buy everything.
No, wait,
like,
what?
If I can afford it, then
you
I'm
kill him when you can afford everything?
Yeah, just for the thrill.
You sicko. Society doesn't need to crash for you to get your kicks at all.
So, you know, some people just like to watch the shopkeeper burn.
I really try not to because it reminds me of the gungeon. First of all, I'm actually a big fan of being able to attack shopkeepers and they actually retaliate and they just say, you know what, well, fuck this. Directly.
That's why I brought it up. That's one of my favorite things in Spelunky was I remember discovering that you could just, like, attack the shopkeeper and he just pulls a fucking gun.
And his entire script goes nuts. He's moving at like breakneck pace, takes the shotgun, he's firing rapid fire. It's wild. Like, you're going to die unless you throw a bomb at him.
Well, that's the whole thing. If you're gonna take down the shopkeeper, you better be prepared to do it in one hit.
Yeah, cause he'll just be there and he'll walk off the map, he'll do whatever, and I guarantee he'll be waiting and you'll hear the music.
And then he picks up the camera, which he then realizes was an object, and he looks into it, and he goes, the next time you shoot me, you better kill me.
Next time you aim for the head.
And then the game deletes your save.
No, I actually like it in Gungeon, where if you fire your gun, he'll give you a warning, and then if you do it again, then he'll say, alright, you know, like, you made me.
You need to go.
You made me do this. But with the shopkeepers, I accidentally have first of all, the appeal of Splunky for me is not only that, number one, it's just fun, but two, you have to be very careful in what you're doing. And at first, that used to be a point of frustration for me for such a long time, but I've grown to appreciate it because you're just cave diving, and you're just trying to find some treasure, and everything down there is endlessly dangerous, especially when you're playing co-op. You really can't make mistakes, because you could just throw somebody off a cliff or a ledge, and they'll die, or you could throw an arrow or a present that you buy from the shopkeeper. I've thrown presents before to pass the item. I'm like, here, I bought this for you. It's a weapon. And it'll just hit them, and it'll take a life, or they'll kill them.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, What's wrong with you?
It's very heavy. You have to be delicate. But
it's a dangerous game.
With the shopkeeper, I'm especially very careful not to touch this man. Because even if you kill him, every other shopkeeper of every other level is pissed off at you, and they'll say, yeah, you're going to die. There's no way for them to tell. I don't even know how they tell that I did it.
Oh, they have a shopkeeping network.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I said, but how?
No, they're one business. Like, they can see the security cam footage.
It's kind of like a twin telepathy kind of thing. They just feel it. They feel the imbalance.
I sense a disturbance in the force.
Yeah, I sense a disturbance in my shopkeeping.
As if a shopkeeper cried out and was suddenly silenced.
But I'm going to be playing that a lot more just because a while back I was playing Gungeon and it made me just, I like the running gun roguelikes. I have a lot of fun with them. And Splunky's a classic. And yeah, 2's coming out soon. We're talking like 12 years here. I think Derek Yu is the only one who makes this. I'm not entirely sure about this because I know he gets backed.
Definitely true of the first one.
Yeah, I think he has a team this time.
I don't know what sort of resources he has going into 2.
Well, I'm pretty hyped, because if number one, because 1 did really well, and it was very highly praised. People loved it. I love it. So I can only imagine that 2 is probably going to be double the size, I would hope. Fingers crossed. And you could just do much more, and you just get a lot more characters and items. It'd be a lot of fun. Totally down
with that. I'm really looking forward to spelunking.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to play with me sometime? Spelunk. We can play. We can spelunk.
I'll spelunk with you. I can reinstall Spelunky.
Just don't hurt me, because I get upset.
hey, like, you're not a shopkeeper. I wouldn't do that to you.
If people throw rocks at me, I get pretty upset about it.
I mean, if you were going to be like, we're in the middle of a cave, we're alone. You're like, hey, Rich, no, I was thinking, think about opening a shop down here. I'd be like, you think about doing what? As I just like load my gun.
Go back the way you came.
Yeah, you know, I told you, I don't like shopkeepers. And then I stare off into the distance and have a flashback to a shopkeeper killing my father.
Wow. That's deep. I hope that's in the official lore for Spelunky 2.
Yeah, no, I'm one of the main characters in Spelunky 2.
Yeah, but other than that, I literally just played FF7 and I just got to Walmart because I'm going slow. But
yeah, that's...
I wish the whole game was just Walmart. I went in immediately and I was thinking, wow, this place is lively. I'm in it.
I gotta tell you, things to look out for, because Walmart is probably one of my favorite bits. Specifically, and this is new to the remake, there's a point a little later on where you go back to Walmart during the day, and it's like a totally different thing. It's like, you know, guys in alleyways, like, puking their brains out in the light of day, like,
Las
none of
Vegas
the neon.
Or Atlantic City daytime.
Exactly. It's like seeing the Vegas Strip during the day, like, they're sweeping up, like, all the garbage.
Nobody wants to see that.
But it's just interesting to see the contrast.
Oh, for sure. I have become immersed. I was playing this game and I was, you know, when's this immersion? I'm immersed. I like it.
Did you find the stand in Walmart with the Materia Pops?
No.
You can't buy them, but I really want them.
Is it in the hotel?
No, it's outside in the Walmart. There's
a couple
like a
of vending machines that you can't use, and I was thinking, did they intend to have this in the game or not?
Well, I think the vending machine you can't use is, I think they still have that quest where, like, some dude's like, hey, I heard they have this thing in the vending machine. I need you to stay at the hotel and buy it for me.
It's like, why can't I just go in without staying there? Why can't I just take it? It's like, nah,
that's not how the vending machines work.
Yeah, they only unlock if you're a guest.
No, but there's, like, a food truck, and they're selling an item called the Materia Pop. And it looks like a cake pop. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, it's a glowing Materia.
So it's actually a Materia?
Yeah, but it's made to look like a Materia, and the whole idea is it seems to be an in-universe, like, snack, because people are talking about them, and how each one has a collectible summon figure inside of it. What? Like, people were talking about trading them, they're like, oh, you got Alexander, that's super rare.
Can you actually summon?
With the candy? I don't think so.
Well, you had me there. So I was like, oh, look at this candy, summon.
Lightning.
I take back what I said last week. Last week I came in hot and I said I don't care for Aerith. And you know what? The more I'm playing, all right, she's winning me over.
She's got chutzpah.
She's brimming with positivity. You can't hate that. I have to say though, very forceful. Very forceful on the Cloud. Don't appreciate it. Cloud's just trying to get back to Sector 7 and she's just shoving you in her face and it's a lot. And then she's sitting on the playground. No spoilers. Oh, 30-second spoiler. Sitting on the playground just goes, your eyes are like the last dude I loved. And I was like, well, this is weird. It's like, this is officially strange.
I think she meant in a literal sense. You know,
literally.
Because of all...
No, literally. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, all right, well, you know, it's the mock-up,
well,
you know?
He goes, well, we were both science experiments.
Yeah, he's like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he prefaces this by saying, well, you know, it's like, I've been experimented on as a child. It's the Mako. And she's like, oh, this is reminiscent of my first love. And he goes, let me say that again. I don't have good memories of this.
It was not a fun time.
It was great. But I actually like her character a lot now. I give props to the voice actors. They're good. They've been good.
It's like, you look a lot, your eyes look a lot like my old boyfriend's. Also, you're wearing his clothes.
Also, I love you. I was thinking, well, all right, I'm going to go.
Well, you seem nice.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, your mom told me to take a hike, so I think I'm going to go.
Your mom seemed pretty upset about this whole thing.
But otherwise, everything else, I haven't really played too much. I've been playing Final Fantasy maybe for like an hour and a half a day.
Okay.
Just because I like to, I know how I'm going to get. There's going to be a turning point in this game where it's going to pick up. And it's starting with Walmart, and I'm getting there. Like, it's progressively coming up on the hype meter. And I'm not going to be able to stop. And once I reach the hype moments, the game's going to end, and I'm going to have to wait. And that's going to be such a kick in the nuts.
Well, you know where you're headed after Walmart in the story. Yep. And I think that's when you're hitting that running pace you're talking about.
I know. I'm afraid of it, but I have to embrace it. But otherwise, that's it for games on my side, Rich.
Yeah, that's about it for me too. I'm playing hard mode in FF7. We talked about Streets of Rage 4, and otherwise I didn't do a whole lot this week. I resubbed FF14.
I saw that. You finally got back.
I did. It's time, I think.
Wow. Just in time for, I don't know, the game. It never left. That's exciting.
Yeah, and then I got to play like an hour because I had shit to do, but I'm probably going to play some tonight.
Very nice. Very nice. Ooh, there's some good releases this week.
There's some stuff coming, so I'm going to run down this here drop for the week. So starting this off, Neversong comes to PC on May 20th. Aqua Lungers comes to PC May 21st, as well as Monster Train. Red Wings Aces of the Sky comes to Switch on May 21st. What the Golf comes to Switch May 21st.
What the Golf is fucking awesome. I love What the Golf. Shout out too, to Golf Story. Both good golfing games.
Very different golf games.
Fun golf games.
What the Golf is awesome. I played it on my phone when it launched initially, which is a great way to play it. If you didn't have the opportunity with like that Apple Arcade stuff, I would highly recommend picking it up for Switch. Chuho Jotaya comes to PC on May 26th. I assume they are cousins with Genova. Maneater comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One on May 22nd. That's that game where you're the shark.
Not Hall & Oates the game. It's a shark game.
He's a man-eater.
That should just play constantly.
Oh, I mean,
if I don't load it up and it goes, whoa, here she comes.
Saints Row the Third Remastered comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One on May 22nd.
Good game.
Fantastic game, yeah. The Wonderful 101 Remastered hits PC, PS4, and Switch, and in Europe digitally on May 22nd.
Did not do well.
No, but it's still, well. It sounds like it's a tight port, but it's still not doing well.
Yeah.
The Elder Scrolls Online Greymoor update comes to PC on May 26th. Minecraft Dungeons comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on May 26th. Mortal Kombat 11, the Aftermath DLC, comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and Stadia on May 22nd. You can be RoboCop now.
Yeah, let me tell you,
I think that's pretty cool.
This DLC is pretty damn impressive. I haven't seen a DLC for Mortal Kombat generate as much hype as this one. I've seen online, I've spoken to, including myself, I've watched this and I was thinking, maybe I would get back into Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I think I'm going to, and I think what sold me on it was, initially they're like, we added RoboCop, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're like, no, we put him in the story.
Yeah, like, exactly. What? They're like, no, you don't get it. Like, he's in the lore now. And I was like, Ed Boon, what are you doing?
He has a cyber ninja skin. He becomes a cyber ninja.
I adore it. The entire story, it's so good. Because listen, I gotta give NetherRealm credit. They know what the public wants. They were thinking, you know, we understand Shang Tsung's been out. Well, guess what? Whole story with Shang Tsung. And I was thinking, wow, that's exactly what I wanted. That's all I ever wanted.
Also, one of RoboCop's fatalities is where he shoots a guy in the dick.
This is true. Also, there's friendships. Friendships are back.
Friendships are back.
Friendships are the biggest BM that you can ever experience in Mortal Kombat, and they brought it back. I can't wait.
I think Babalities are also up there.
Yeah, literally. Well, big baby. But yeah, I know. I cannot imagine the frustration that people will get when they get a friendship or a big baby. But they also look so cool. The animation teams that make all these, impressed. I am very impressed with the whole goddamn thing. It just looks like a bunch of fun. It's $40, so it's a chunky one. It's a chunky monkey. But you can get that and the base game for $60.
Also,
like, you get all this game.
Talking about that stuff, like, it reminds me of when MK11 first launched and the weird conversations around how much I was enjoying that story of being like, what was your favorite fight in MK11? And I'm like, I like when Johnny Cage from MK2 fights Scorpion from MK11.
Yeah, I gotta give this game props, or at least this entire series. Ever since they had Mortal Kombat 9 and they rebooted the entire story, they've kept to it. They've kept to it, and it's like the Bible now. For all intents and purposes, all the main characters are either dead, or they have cybernetic limbs, or they're demigods, or just full-on gods. It's absolutely wacky, and I adore it. It's so fun.
It's pretty great.
Dead people aren't fun. I just...
These dead people are fun.
These dead people are so fun.
Star Wars Episode 1 Racer. Twas delayed, but now they tell me it's coming to PS4 on May 26th.
Can we race?
I'd like to race. That's a good game.
I would like to race.
That's a good game.
Winner, loser has. Oh, I should say, winner has to kiss Watto. I was gonna say, loser has to kiss Watto.
That's a winner's prize right there. Wildfire comes to PC on May 26th, and with the proper modding tools, you'll be kissing Watto in that game in no time.
Just like my dreams.
See you in my dreams, Watto. He's in my dreams. Watto always tells me I have to clean the racks, but then we can kiss.
I saw this video floating around recently. Forgetting what this famous man is, but he was explaining the Duel of Fates. I'm drawing a blank right now, but it was
Dave Filoni.
There you go. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe
he's essentially the Star Wars lore master.
Yeah, he's explaining the Duel of Fates, and I was thinking, you know, what if Watto was supposed to be the Duel of Fates? If only Watto kept Anakin on the straight and narrow.
All I can tell you is I watched that video, and like I think he makes some excellent points. But all it ever makes me think of is, like, giving people too much credit, because it just makes me go, what you're saying is really nice, and it does kind of work out that way, but interpretation is not the same as intent.
If we want to get into a duel, I'm about that. So, I'm going to shift gears for a second. So.
Oh, okay, name of the episode, Duel of Fates.
No, I didn't mean to, no. Okay, yeah, from the pod racer to Star Wars, really quick. I am not such... I am not such a fanboy of the series to dissect it that heavily. Not saying that that's bad, but I am very much of the type of person to digest and understand what is given to me. And the reason why the prequels, especially episode 1 and 2, are so bad is because, yeah, let's say his interpretation of the Duel of Fates is correct. Let's say Lucas rang him up on the hotline and said, yeah, man, that's totally what I was going for.
It's glad like poetry, you have people rhymes. Out
there like you. Who understand it.
Who get it.
Thank you. I get the story. I get his interpretation. I actually enjoy it, but that's not what I'm ever going to be given on this film. They're never going to explain it in that way to me, so it'll never be that impactful to me.
Yeah.
So when I first heard it, I was thinking, man, that's awesome. And I still think that's awesome.
It's an awesome interpretation.
And I would love to explain that and discuss that with anybody who has also seen the same interpretation, because I'm just thinking... Yeah, like, that's cool. But later on, I went to the toilet, and I was just sitting there thinking, and I was like, no, that's not what that was. No.
I was throwing up because I had just done 3 shots of Sambuca. No.
Qui-Gon was fighting Darth Maul with Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon died. That was it. And yeah, is Obi-Wan the best figure in the world? No. But he avenged Qui-Gon. That was the whole bit.
Yeah.
I was beside myself.
The interpretation I always understood is like... And this is expanded upon more in, like, the expanded universe stuff, was, like, Obi-Wan is supposed to be, like, this antithesis to Anakin, at least, like, from what we see to him in any prequel stuff, because he's faced with a lot of the same, like, moral challenges, but ends up overcoming all of them, where Anakin doesn't.
I would even go as far to say that, you know what, because his main rationale is that if Qui-Gon lived, Anakin would be on the straight and narrow. I respectfully disagree.
Yeah,
I don't think that
would have
been true at all.
Because I don't think Qui-Gon living doesn't mean he's going to get through to the council.
Yeah, and that seemed to be the center of his point. Like, it's the Duel of Fates for the Duel of Anakin. I'm sorry, listeners. Listen, I have to get it off my chest. But I don't think if Qui-Gon Jinn lived, Anakin's just going to be like, hey, I have a father figure now. Things are chill. I actually think that Obi-Wan raising him as a brother, I think that was even better. Because he got something else.
You know, maybe Qui-Gon, not for nothing, maybe Anakin would have been on the straight and narrow if Qui-Gon didn't wait 3 years to let everybody know he figured out how to live forever and could talk to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying here. It's not like Qui-Gon magically getting into the picture is like, sup, Anakin's like, wow, I see the error of my ways.
Because then we learned he had the means to do that always, but waited till, like, the end of the Clone Wars to teach Yoda how to do that.
I feel a certain type of way. Sorry, listeners. Anyways, moving on to actual news here. The Ghost of Tsushima gameplay was shown
in
PlayStation
State
of Play. I texted Rich immediately afterward. My hype for this game respectfully went from nothing to just general interest to all time.
Yeah, I'm basically about the same way.
Looks incredible. And let me tell you, PlayStation, and I understand, I just want to preface that this is something that you know, has been in development for years, so PlayStation obviously is complete gameplay. This is what I want to see when we talk about gameplay. Just show me some stuff.
So, like, someone playing the game.
Yeah, just play the freaking game. have a narrator, the director, whomever, and just
to explain,
say, hey, guys,
what we're looking at. Yeah.
Check this out. Like, this is what you're going to be seeing here. A small segment. It wasn't even the whole freaking game. Just show me something.
But they showed us two very distinct different things. Like, one was they showed us this sort of daytime, like, you're in your samurai garb. This is more like straightforward combat. And then they showed him in the actual, like, ghost gear. Like, yeah. Being like, when you could be dishonorable because it's nighttime and you're like, pocket sand!
Exactly. And I have to say, what a swan song the PS4 is going to have with The Last of Us and then Ghost of Tsushima releasing in
within
sequence within
other.
A month of one another. What a swan song. This game, I highly encourage everybody to just look it up. Even if you have generally minor interest in it, I would look it up because you know what? It's as if they took the Breath of the Wild kind of format of gameplay where you can just explore. And I'm just using Breath of the Wild as recent memory context here, but you can just explore anything you want. There's different events that are taking place around you. There's different night and day cycles, and it all just centers around the way that you just want to play. You can play as Jin the Samurai, who is, during the day, he's a respectable samurai, but at night, he becomes the Ghost of Tsushima, and you can just kill people in a dishonorable way, and your playstyle changes. I think it's a very cool way to just play the game, and it's just up to you, and you can juggle it.
And you can pet a fox.
Yeah, and you can pet a fox. But it looks like Sucker Punch, the reason why I greatly enjoy their studio is because they put things in the game that genuinely don't need to be there, and it'd still be a great game. But when they show it to you, you're thinking, that's all. They showed the camera mode. This is what I'm talking about. Sucker Punch games are pretty infamous for having, not infamous, famous. Infamous is negative. They're pretty famous for having their camera mode.
But they did put out Infamous.
They did. And you could just take dynamic pictures and videos and stuff. In this game, they amp that feature up to probably like 11, and now you can change the wind direction, you can change the petals that fly, whether they're leaves or cherry blossom petals. You can make dynamic videos and just,
you can essentially make
images.
Samurai films.
Yeah, and you could even change the filters to black and white to play like as if you're in a classic samurai film. And there's no reason to do that. It's just cool. And I always respect the devs for doing stuff like that because it's awesome.
I have to imagine when you put stuff in like that, like the main thought is like, people are going to make some fucking cool shit with this.
Oh, for sure. I can only imagine during the first week, people are just going to be uploading awesome videos or little clips just to showcase the game. And it's just going to make me want to play it. It just looks like a great, tight-knit game. The story hasn't... I don't think the story was revealed in great...
No, that was just some... If it was, I didn't see anything about it. I really just watched those gameplay snippets.
Yeah, but I highly encourage anybody to go see that. That comes out in July.
Yeah.
And it's looking nice. It is nice. PlayStation only, so that kind of blows if you don't have one, but maybe this will persuade you, because now you have the greatest library to just go off of and just play all those Sony exclusives.
Hells yeah. But that's not the only thing we saw on the hype train. I'm talking about skateboarding.
I am so hyped for Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
Actually, I shouldn't even say I'm hyped. I just know hype would imply that, I don't know. I have this nostalgic hype where I'm not champing at the bit to play it right now because I know that once it finally does arrive, I'll just naturally gravitate towards it and start pulling off Chrysair as if I never left.
And it's like we never left, because Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered with the original soundtrack, minus, I want to say, about 4 tracks, are coming to modern consoles this September.
Yes.
From Vicarious Visions, the studio that made the Crash Insane trilogy. And it looks really fucking good.
It's going to be good. I had a moment where I was thinking, is this just going to be nostalgia? But those games are just fun. They're just pure fun. And you can just waste time just doing kickflips.
I think I might have texted you about this. I don't remember. This was news that came out a few days after, which I thought was fascinating. They're going to be putting in updated character models. And what I mean by that is the character models for the skaters will have the option to reflect their current ages, not their ages when the game was released.
I thought that was pretty cool. I read that too.
So yes, I will be playing as 53-year-old Rodney Mullen.
Why not? I hope they actually put the hidden characters in too, the ones that you can unlock. I forgot some of them, but I know.
I don't remember who they were in those two in particular, and I think a lot of that's going to depend on licensing stuff. Because was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1, was that Darth Maul?
I don't think it was 3. 1. It may have been 4. No way. Yeah, I was gonna say it may have been like 3 or 4. It definitely wasn't 1 or 2.
Was Spider-Man in 2?
Okay. Spider-Man was 1, I believe. Let me check. Nope, he's in 2. He's good.
That makes sense. Doomguy
is in it, but he's in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. Darth Maul was in 3.
Yeah, Spider-Man makes sense because Neversoft was putting out the Spider-Man games at the same time.
Yeah, but you can, of course, get Officer Dick. Officer Naturally. Dick is going to be in all the games, as he should. Yeah, those are kind of the secret boys. And there's some other secrets, too, but Gene Simmons was one of them.
Naturally.
And he had his, you could blow fire.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was pretty funny. I think that was Underground, though. Yeah, there's a lot of them, but this game is
that was
so good.
I feel like that was, like, American Wasteland or something later. You might be
it
right,
was Underground. I think Gene Simmons is in an Underground.
We learned a lot today. Yeah. I just added this to the list because I totally forgot about it. Nintendo announced new Paper Mario.
Really? I haven't heard. The Origami King.
Yeah, you did hear.
Origami. Releasing the same day as Ghost of Tsushima.
Wow, what a
July
crazy...
July 17th. I'm sorry, the 20th. That's wild.
What a choice you'll have to make.
No, it was the 17th, you know? You just gotta trust your gut on those ones.
You win some, you lose some.
I don't know how to feel about it, because I haven't seen any gameplay.
It looks good.
It looks
like, visually,
look good.
I mean, yeah.
Well, because I always think of Alpha Dream when they were making the Mario and Luigi games.
Yeah.
And those guys shut down because they went bankrupt. So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about any. I'm not saying these guys are. Because Nintendo, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know how it'll play.
I don't know.
They changed the battle system again.
Yeah, but it is a turn-based battle system.
Which is cool.
It appears that partners are back. People pulled some screenshots that show suggesting who the partners might be. One of them was like an archaeologist toad. And there were some screenshots that confirmed some troubling news. We saw Mario and this toad in a pyramid. And according to some hieroglyphics... Toads used to have legs. They used to be full-sized human people. And I assumed they were cursed. I don't know what happened there.
Like the mighty wolf being, over time, morphed into the dog. The domesticated dog.
Every time, like, a joke like that just constantly makes me think of fucking, there's, like, a really old Onion article they share every once in a while where the picture is, like, the tiniest, like, pug with his face smushed in and just, like, report, this evolved from wolves.
Toads got a bad rap. They were forced into servitude by the Mushroom Kingdom just because their heads were shaped like that. It's rough.
Well, what were they doing walking around looking like that when they knew a Mushroom Kingdom was out there?
They had legs. I don't know what I could tell you. I could tell you one thing. They had legs.
They were inbred to get
rid of
those.
This is actually a game that's rated M for mature. A very, very
It's Paper Mario, Origami King, the history of the toads.
Yeah, the history of the toads. They had sexy leg contests regularly. It looks like their legs were shaven.
Please share this good toad.
I can only imagine what's in the Nintendo vaults of ideas that got rejected.
Tell me about Penguin E6.
Huh? Oh, before I move into that, yeah, that's Origami King. It's going to be on July 17th. They changed up a few things. You can look it up. I'm actually really surprised that's coming out on the 17th. I was actually really surprised. Because typically they don't announce so close.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Did you see the Metroid, the little tease? They teased Metroid.
I did. There was another... I'm trying to remember. What was that other report? A report about a bunch of Nintendo stuff that's supposedly dropping. I'm sorry. Now I remember. Back we had that rumor floating around.
Yeah.
That we were getting a bunch of Mario remasters this year for the Switch.
I do remember that.
That rumor was also prefaced with a Paper Mario game dropping this summer. So that adds a little fuel to that fire.
I just want, and I know this is, I just want Thousand Year Door ported.
Yeah.
I don't care about anything else, I have to be honest.
The original and Thousand Year Door are easily the best ones.
That game, you know, I hate to use this word as the cool kid, that game slaps.
Yeah, no, that shit, I'm sorry, it slaps.
I'm sorry, as the kids say, forgive me, that shit does indeed slap. Yeah, but you're right, okay, I'll move into Penguin E6. So... Disney has shut down a clone of the Club Penguin game that they had previously shut down officially back in 2017, but a dude or a group took the source code, cloned the game, made Club Penguin Online, and that's just been running, I think that's just been running since. But Nintendo recently ordered a cease and desist and shut it down because they found that children were engaging in quote-unquote penguin e-sex. And that's an article from GameIndustry.biz. This has been one of my favorite articles that I've read as of late because I was just sipping coffee this morning and I saw this and I was thinking, what won't kids do these days?
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, what a time to be alive. That's some hard-hitting... It was a hard-hitting... headline. I'm not actually making fun of the article itself. It was quite well written. It's just the subject matter is getting a little crazy.
I believe we have one of those kids on the line for an interview.
No, well, it is kind of fucked up because you got a guy who's arrested in the UK for having images of this shit. And
oh, jeez.
I know. I didn't want to bring it up. I know, but it's just the idea that this is originating in a clone of Club Penguin.
Of all places, but it's,
this is why you shouldn't revive the dead. Bad things happen.
The dead should stay dead.
You lure fucking children. It's terrible. It's just terrible. And I was thinking of the Club Penguin memes back in the day that people would screenshot where they were profane and they get banned or something. And I used to
those
laugh
always
so
make
hard
me laugh. Yeah.
And now I literally envision kids as penguin avatars just writing, "Oh baby, oh baby, give me your flipper," or just something really weird.
The part that's more confusing to me is that, like, they stayed in characters as penguins during it.
Well, that was just my little touch right there, you know?
Yeah, no, but that
I
somehow
imagine,
makes
I imagine
it,
the humans never did it.
It makes it a little more palatable for me, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know, but Club Penguin, once again, as it should have been, was shot in between the eyes once more, and we can only hope that nobody else rises to power. But as they say, whenever you remove great evil from thrones of power, a greater evil will fill the vacuum. So,
of course. And, you know, the dead should stay dead. So there you have it.
I mean, I don't know. The dead speak. I think that was Rise of Skywalker right there. George Lucas did not write
that. Yeah, God, that was...
The dead speaks.
Yeah. I didn't play the Fortnite expansion, so I didn't know how that started.
Do you have a good buffer? Oh, did we talk about the Unreal Engine?
No, we didn't.
I was gonna say, I want a good buffer. I don't want to end this on penguin e-sex.
I do, no.
I do. Thanks for joining, yeah. Everybody. Unreal Engine was released in Summer Games Fest by Epic Games.
Into the Wild.
What? yeah.
We let it run and be with its own kind.
So,
Unreal Engine 5, yeah.
It looked cool. There's billions of triangles. There's just billions of triangles all over the place. Some
we got
say,
so
in
many
current
polygons.
Reality, right now, we are all made up of billions of triangles.
That's true. That's just science.
But yeah, Epic Games showed it off using just a technical demo of a game. Yeah, it looked beautiful. It did. Of course it did.
It looked absolutely gorgeous, as these demos do, because they're built to be like this perfect standard.
Yeah, and they found and they revealed that these high-def images were literally made up of billions of triangles, which is wild. And everything just looks so high-def and clean. I will say, I encourage everybody to go watch this for themselves, because there are some sections that you're probably going to want to see, but this also sparked up some discussion online where you're not going to probably see this until at least 2022, because number one, the engine doesn't really release until 2021. So most likely, as we step into next gen, you're probably not going to get something that's using Unreal Engine 5, if at all, just yet. That
update
being said, it's pretty
graphics drivers now, kids.
I'm with you on this. It's just I'm really interested to see what people create in the long term. I just don't envision that you're gonna get, say, like a nice 40 to 50 hour game fest using Unreal Engine 5 unless developers at least spend like 5 years doing it.
Also, not at this standard.
No, not like, unless you had like
these technical demos are preemed and primed and perfectly polished.
Yeah, I never trust any tech demos of anything. What did you say?
Well, you can't. Like,
oh, they're saying like you can and you will. I was like, what?
You can and you will. Please, no. Why do you have a gun?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead though.
Oh no, that's it.
Oh, I don't think you can, because you know what? E3 perfect. It's just to get butts in seats and get you hyped for the game to hit pre-order, and then by the time you get the finished product, it's never going to be the way it is. Key in point, One of the more noticeable ones over time was Uncharted 4. Game looked beautiful. That demo looked gorgeous. And when you officially got the game, still looked good, did not look nearly as good as what it was being shown off to be. Same with God of War. Same with a lot of them. And these are games that look beautiful, mind you. It's just, you're never going to get something that looks like the Unreal Engine 5 technical demo right away. Made up of billions of triangles, because I don't know. They did say that the PlayStation 5 was playing that.
Yeah, that, so that was running on it.
I'm curious to that. I just don't understand. I don't know how much effort, I would imagine a lot, for a team to create a full-fledged game using that engine out of what we saw of 5-minute tech demo. I'm sure that took months to make.
This PS5 is running this technical demo. It is in a Ziploc bag submerged in water.
I was going to say, imagine like they end the demo and they go, how is it? And they uncover it and it's just melted.
Then will they have to pull it out of a pool first?
And the pool has just became a jacuzzi. I'm always hyped for the future of games that will utilize that over time. It's just, I don't know. I don't think you're going to see that immediately. And
no, that's also, people are going to really have to learn how to use the engine. This stuff takes time.
Oh, for sure. And I still saw that in this demo. If anybody doesn't even know this, you know those segments in games when you're actually crawling through crevices or tight spots? That's a key development trick that people use to pretty much generate the next area.
So mass load times.
It's not giving you, it's giving you the illusion that it's an open world, but actually what's happening is that animation or that action is actually generating the next level.
Yeah.
Think
of like Uncharted when like you have to hold down a button and have like the party like hold a door open for each other.
Yeah.
Like these are all tricks to mask load times.
Or even if like a load time, they say, hey, can you get the door? And they go, I'm coming. And they take forever to get it. It's loading. And that's fine. It's just, again, when you have, I was a little disappointed to see it too, because as we start to make more advances into the development space like this, eventually I would like to see that just completely killed off. It's asking for a mountain. But I think over time, in the next decade, you know, we're going to be able to achieve that. It's just to see that, too, the game that looks so fucking beautiful. And then they're just like, watch what happens when she crawls through this this cave to explore. I'm like, she's not exploring. Like, stop it. Like, stop. It's not an exploration.
I think you're exploring.
Like,
it's loading. A place to hide your load times.
Yeah. I'm like, get it out of the pool. Dig up the PS5. And now everybody's starting console war arguments online again because they're just like, oh, I didn't see this in Xbox. And I was like, damn, man. I'm like, come on.
Stop, he's already dead.
Yeah, I like the Xbox.
Yeah, no, it's console wars are silly.
I mean, Jeff Keighley's going, he's wilding out too on social media.
I mean, all I'll say whenever people bring me like, oh, console wars are back, I'm like, yeah, I know, great book, you should read it.
Well, let me tell you, I gotta say, I was messaging you about this too. Keighley was like, hey, how about the tech demo, huh? Like, this is the future. And everyone's like, yeah, but we're not gonna get that immediately, you know? Like, we're hype, but I wanna see what's going on, like, in the next 6 months. He goes, What are you, a nerd or something? You go, what?
The future is now.
He goes, wait, are you a loser or something? Like, can you get a load of this guy?
I'm like, what? He goes, you can't talk to me like that. He goes, I can talk to you however I want. I'm Jeff motherfucking Keighley.
No, but I just thought that was cool. I want to throw that in because I would like people to at least check that out. I think it's always really enjoyable, and I also think that it's really enjoyable that you got CEOs of Epic Games and CTOs and leads of dev teams and chief engineering officers who have webcams that look like they were made in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's like, all right, we're all hooked up on the old, we got a nice stable connection here on my old Compaq brand webcam. Like, I don't think that company exists anymore.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you guys load? It's like, hold on, my dial-up's kicking in. I'm just like, what the fuck? Jeff Keighley, it's only funny because Jeff Keighley was like in 4K high def. I could see his, I felt like he was in my room. And you have the Epic Games team, and it was some grainy-ass footage. And they're like, can you see me? And I was like, what is happening?
Hold on, we'll show you how to use the webcam, granddad.
Oh, that's so funny. But yeah, that's it for my end.
Yeah. I think that that about sums us up for the evening.
Well, Rich, you got the old kazoo ready to play us out?
I'm ready to play us out in housekeeping. Thanks to Heather Ramos for our wonderful logo and to Ed Biquette for our intro. ask us questions at geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on the Twitterverse. You, of course, are at beautiful_Eric, and I am at the Richmeister0. But until then, stay penguiny, and we'll catch you next time.
No, wait, don't stay penguiny. All right, bye.
Or don't. I don't remember the lesson. Bye.